Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
Embodies God's love and His mercy and His grace, so that more and more people can show up at His table and find healing and hope for their lives. You've been around the area for any length of time. No doubt you would have had a conversation with one or two people about what they think of God and what their hopes and dreams are. And over the years, as I've lived, my wife and my family, we've lived here, I've had plenty of those conversations. And the one consistent theme through all of them is that people are spiritually hungry and thirsty, but not sure where to turn. Because they live in a culture that assumes that if God exists, then He's irrelevant. And then on the other side of it, they live in a world or a culture that kind of allows for anything and everything. They find themselves to be a people trapped in the middle with no place to call home. At Storrs Community Church, we want to be a place where people can come as they are, explore faith issues, bring their questions, their doubts, their concerns, without pressure to conform or to believe what they think everybody else believes, but to discover the love of Christ and move closer to Him wherever they're at. One of our theme verses comes out of the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, where Israel, as God's people, have found themselves in a difficult place. They've been worshiping and only giving lip service to the worship of God. The rest of their life is kind of a mess and a tangle. And they finally, God calls them into His presence and they ask, Lord, what exactly do You want from us? Do You want more oil for Your sacrifices? We'll bring barrels of oil. Do You want us to offer our children and human sacrifice to You? We'll do that too. And God says, you guys totally don't get it. What I want now is what I've always wanted. That you love mercy. That you act justly and walk humbly with Me, your God. You find these three points that come out of Micah 6:8 on your bulletin cover. And the way we translate that is love mercy means to wake up to God's love. All of us wake up at different paces and at different times of the day, and we have, some of us need to get out of bed and go, and other of us need to get out of bed and sit down and think about going for a while. God calls us to love mercy, and to wake up to His love, and to be a people that help others to wake up to His love. He calls us to act justly, to go into the world characterizing that same mercy that we have received with those around us, to step out in service. And then He calls us to walk humbly, to consider our position before God and the fact that we stand or walk or live before Him solely in response to His mercy, not as a way of gaining His mercy or convincing Him to love us. Love mercy, act justly, walk humbly. Passage that I read for you out of Matthew's gospel, there's a dinner party, and Jesus has just called Matthew as his disciple to follow him. And the religious leaders of the day are a little tweaked, actually tweaked a lot, that Jesus is hanging out with the wrong kind of people. And at one point, Jesus turns to them and said, you know, you guys don't get it. Go instead and learn what it means that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. As Luke picks up that theme in his gospel, he has Jesus follows that scenario, that situation, with a story. And the story goes like this. There was a man who had two sons. The older son, he was big and strong. He was dependable and responsible. And the only thing broader than his shoulders was his sense of duty that he carried upon them. And then there was the other son. It was a little more slender, not so focused, who always seems somehow to do less than his share of the work. And one day, this younger son comes to the father and he says, Dad, you know, I've been thinking about this life on the farm here, and it's really just time for me to go. Give me my share of the inheritance and let me go. Against his better judgment and determination, the father realized that he has to do, and he gives the son his money. And as the son takes the money and he heads through the gate and he begins to go down the lane, the father stands at the front door and he watches his son until he's just a speck on the horizon. And then he disappears. But the father, you know, every night as the shadows would come and the light would dim, and it would be time to light the lamps, he would go to that doorway and look out and nurse the ache in his heart and feel the pit in his stomach. And that younger son, with a pocket full of cash and no responsibility, headed to the big city, where he savored all that life had to offer. Filet mignon, chardonnay, little gambling, little chariot racing. He had lots of friends. He had a great time. He wore himself out. He spent himself thin. And then he realized that when he was out of money, he was out of friends. He's like, no problem. I'll find a job. I can handle this. I like this free lifestyle, this free living kind of thing. And so he began to look for work. He went to one place after another. But the reality is the economy was dead and there was no work. Until finally he ended up at a farm and the guy said, come, you can take care of my pigs. So day after day, he would go out and slop the pigs. But you know what? You barely make minimum wage when you're slopping pigs. And he realized how poor he was. And he felt the pit in his stomach as it seemed like his hunger would never go away. And he smelled the sour, sweet husks that he was throwing to the pigs. And he almost began to eat them. And Jesus says, at that point, he comes to his senses. And the reality is that we don't come to our senses, they come to us. That he woke up to the reality of his situation, and alongside his situation, he remembered his dad. And he said to himself, if I just go to my father, maybe I can be one of his hired hands. Because they all have plenty to eat. They got a nice bunkhouse to sleep in. And so rather than chew on the pods, he chewed on that thought a bit. And then one day he decided to go to return home. That's it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, and this is what I'm going to say. I said, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm not fit to be your son. And he rehearsed his speech all the way home. He had it all figured out. Father, I have sinned against you and against God, and I'm not worthy to be your son. Just forgive me and make me as one of your hired hands. And it happened one evening that the father looked out onto the lane, and he saw that silhouette of his son coming down the furrowed road, and he recognized the gait, his son's gait, his indistinguishable walk, and his heart began to pound, and he looked, and he squinted, and he looked, and he squinted, and then he grabbed up his robe, and he ran. He bolted off through the door and down the porch and on to the lane till he grabbed his son and he nearly knocked him over and drew him close and kissed his neck. And the son started to go into his speech, and the father said, quiet. And they stood there in silence and embraced for a while. And then the father, in tears and laughter, said, come home, son. It's so good to have you here. And he got up to the house and he turned to the servants and he said, call the neighbors, kill the fatted calf, bring in the musicians. We're going to have a party. My son who was dead is now alive. He was feeling pretty good. Later that day, as the older brother was coming in from the fields, he was feeling pretty good. He was happy that they had gotten the upper field plowed and a little bit of the lower field started. He was tired and dusty and sweaty, but, you know, a good day's work is a good day's work. And he didn't notice the fiddle music floating through the air until after the axe was in the pen and the gate clicked shut. And he turned to the servant pitching hay to the cattle. He said, hey, what's going on? He cautiously and quietly said, it's your brother. He's come home. And your father has killed the fatted calf for him. With that, the older brother, his heart sank, his teeth clenched, and he walked away in silence. Inside the house, people ate, they sang, the music played, and the father danced like he was a lot younger than he really was. And that he knew he shouldn't do that. Sorry. Help him, Lord. And as he danced, all of his worry and heartache began to float up in a way like a milkweed on a summer breeze. And then the evening went on, and it was time to light the lamps. And that familiar pain returned to his stomach and his heart. And he looked towards the door, and he realized that the other son, the older son, was missing. So he went out and saw him sitting in the shadows, brooding and boiling with anger. And he went over and he pleaded with him to come in. But the older brother would have none of it. And then he let it fly. Really? You got to be kidding me. Is there no justice in the world? I have slaved for you day after day after day. And this son of yours takes my money, our money, and he squanders it. And you know exactly how he did that. I wish he stayed gone and dead. And what do? You welcome him like a king. You give him your best robe, you give him your ring, he gets your shoes, you kill the fatted calf, you call the neighbors, and you have a party. Why do I do what I do? Why do I work so hard if it doesn't even matter or make a difference? All of my life I have slaved for you, and you've never given me even a little goat to have a party with my friends. Father pleaded with him to come in, saying, I know, but this brother of yours was dead and is now alive. Let's celebrate. And Jesus, his point is that we would get this, come to understand that it is God's mercy that he desires, and not sacrifice. This story is traditionally known as the story of the prodigal son. But that is to miss the point of the story altogether. Remember, Jesus begins by saying, there was a man who had two sons. And the story isn't really about the sons, it's about the father. The father who is waiting, the father who comes out to meet the son who has squandered everything. And the father who comes out to bring in the older brother who views his father as a taskmaster whose love must be won and secured by all that he does. Sometimes we are the younger brother. Many of us have been there. Some of us are the older brother, doing it all right and for never. For as much as we try, it never seems to be enough. But it is the mercy of God, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, that leads to repentance. It is coming to understand that the Father that is calling us forward runs towards us, who humiliates himself by hiking up his robe and running like an idiot to catch us. In And it's the Father in his compassionate, waiting heart who comes out of the party to draw us in. Say, put down your defensiveness and your self-righteousness and come in and celebrate with me. Younger brothers need to come to their senses and come home, knowing that the Father is waiting for us to do so. And older brothers likewise need to come to their senses, knowing that it's not our goodness that merits the Father's love. We need his mercy as much as our younger brothers do. And that it is important for us to celebrate the Son's return and not demand that he go right away to the field and work off his debt. As a church that loves mercy, we want to invite others into the Father's presence. We want to invite others to come to the table to participate with us in our life in Christ, appreciating each other for our differences and the way in which we need to experience God's healing grace in our lives, and to respond with joy and gratitude, and that our lives would be live not as a have to or a should, but as a thank you. Let us go and learn what it means that the Lord desires mercy, not sacrifice. Heavenly Father, we thank you for rushing forward to draw us in. We ask that we might embody your mercy in our thoughts, in our behaviors, in our homes, in our workplaces, above all, in our community of faith.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.